Amen. Man, I gotta settle down worshiping the Lord like that. I don't know how I'm gonna preach now. So, whew. Can we just go home now? I'm just filled up to the brim. You guys want more? Amen. All right, let's get into the Word then. Amen. All right, praise God. I just love this worshiping with you all. All right, we're gonna be getting into Genesis chapter 32. We're a Bible-believing church, and we get a hold of our Bibles and we open up that book. That is the great book of the revelation of our God. And we are going to be in that first first book of 32nd chapter of Genesis. And I want us to dig into a story here. It's a fascinating story about Jacob and a man. There's a man in this, nameless man at the time of beginning of the story. And it's a man that Jacob is wrestling with. And a lot of you may be familiar with this story, and I'm hoping today we can maybe get it settled into our hearts a little further. And this wrestling bout, it ends with an amazing proclamation from Jacob that I have seen God face to face. Now, I'm not going to claim I have ever seen God face to face, but I have felt the presence of God so harsh or so hard on me, so heavy on me is more the word I'm looking for, so heavy upon me that if maybe I turned and opened my eyes in the spiritual realm, I may just have seen God's face. But I can imagine here this man physically, it seems, to be wrestling with Jacob to the point where he was able to proclaim, I have seen God face to face. Hosea brings this back up some generations later in Hosea 12:4. He proclaims that this man that Jacob was wrestling with, he called him an angel. An angel, and we understand that to be a manifestation of God, maybe a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ. You see, no man has ever seen God and lived. But Moses and Jacob have seen of the glorious parts of God manifested through the man Jesus Christ. And so that's how I believe this is working out. But that's not the important part. That's not what I'm getting into. You see, this mysterious narrative teaches us some things about who God is. And I hope you all understand that I don't desire here to have a group of hearers. I have no interest in just hearers. As James says, I want you all to be doers of the word. I want you to manifest what it is to be a Christian, not just hearing what it is to be a Christian. And it's my ardent desire to see you and I getting a hold of God and not letting go till He blesses you. Till you see that victory that we sing and hear God proclaiming to us. Some of you have come into this church today and are maybe wondering, am I ever going to see that victory? Am I ever going to see God, you work in this? And maybe am I just despairing or maybe am I faltering? But maybe hearing those words today as I sing and I'm going to by faith grab hold, that I am going to believe that you do have the victory. And I want us all to believe that. And I want to understand who it is that we are wrestling with as Jacob did in this moment. Because really this story isn't just about Jacob, it's about us. Us as human beings wrestling with an all-compassionate and almighty God. And Genesis 32 gives us a good picture of wrestling with God, get this, in prayer. This is all about prayer, loved ones. This is all about how we talk and manifest our interaction with this mystery called prayer. And I want to get the scene set up. I want to get a little bit into what's going on whenever we rip open a book, not like we do with Philippians, going verse by verse. I want to give you a little heads up on what's going on so you understand the context somewhat. Jacob is Abraham's grandson. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The called out ones, the Hebrew people that would bring the manifestation of the Messiah. And in fact, they still have work to do. And one day they will come into their calling and proclaim that Messiah when they fulfill the understanding of who Messiah is. Zechariah 12:10 says they will look upon him whom they pierced and they will proclaim him as Messiah. I hope to see that day somewhere wherever I am, and soon I hope to see it. But Jacob is the grandson of that first one called out of Ur. He's the younger of the set of twins that we know of as Jacob and Esau. Romans 9 makes mention of them again. Jacob I've loved and Esau I hated. Hopefully we understand it in the choosing context. Jacob was chosen. And so Jacob's father Isaac and his mother Rachel, it's really a sad story once you get into the understanding of personal favoritism amongst children. Parents shouldn't do that. But this story, again, this is how we understand the Bible to be true. We see the context and the narratives of both good and bad. It wasn't gleaned out of some kind of polished way to tell a story. We see the good and bad, and Isaac and Rachel have some things we can learn from. But now, after years of not seeing each other, Jacob and Esau, they'd split apart. They were about to meet again. And Jacob was scared. He was scared because he had deceived his brother. And he stole that blessing. And as Jacob, we find in the beginning of chapter 32, he's splitting up his people. His flocks are going apart. He's getting different companies together so he can have a better chance of surviving this older brother coming and possibly attacking him. He also sends gifts to Esau. You know, whenever you're in trouble, you want to maybe meet with some gifts and try to hopefully dull down the conflict. But he was really panicking. Why don't we take a moment, read the account here of what we're getting into. That was the prelude. But chapter 32, verse 22. We can go ahead and read this quickly. Follow along with me. Chapter 32, verse 22. It says, and he rose that night and took, this is Jacob, and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. And this is important. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. What an amazing account. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father God, you are a wonderfully revealed God in the scriptures. And let our wonder never try to hedge you into some box that we want to make you. But let us be open to what you are so that we're changed by you, never changing you to what we want. And so we ask that you open our hearts to what it is you're speaking to each one here. Corporate message, individual inspiration. So Lord, be upon us. Let your Holy Spirit wonderfully work in our hearts. And let us be blessed by the understanding of prayer and blessing this morning. Someone needs to hear this, Lord. Let them hear with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. I want you all to take home today some lessons on how Jacob's physical struggle was a picture of a spiritual struggle for us. So write this down. I love when you all take notes. Number one, why don't you check this out with, the blessings of God are released into our lives through prayer. Pretty simple. The blessings of our lives are released from God into our lives by prayer. Jacob gets quite a bad rap about his deceit involving his brother Esau. Back in Genesis 25, you don't have to go there, but 25:23, it says here clearly really what was going on. He didn't have much of a choice. As the Lord said to his mom, Rebecca, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Jacob was prophesied over. He was told in the womb by his little infant ears, by God himself, you're going to be the one that leads. And so as he was being told this, his mom is hearing this, and God's prophesying this, what other choice does he have? Now I want to understand that maybe Jacob wasn't taking hold of his birthright the way he should have. I don't know. I don't know exactly how God wanted to ordain. But some of you all, I want to apply it to you. Some of you all have had some promises made over your lives, some prophecy over your lives. Someone's talked something over your life and you haven't seen it manifested. A child's saving salvation, a marriage coming back together, some kind of relational or financial or spiritual blessing upon you. And you haven't come to realization of it. And understanding that Maybe we need to believe God today. Maybe we need to redo that and understand that maybe I haven't seen it yet. But you know what? It's been spoken over me and I'm going to believe it. And your life is given to you as a gift and God has a purpose. Each one of you, young, old, in between, seeking, knowing everything here, people, you have a purpose in your life. And God is purposeful in acting that out in you. And so understanding that God has some promises for you, you know that there's a book here that we can open up and there are thousands of promises that I could get into. So don't ever please tell me I don't know what the promises are for me, Pastor. You get into here and it ain't pretty much long before you realize you have a God who is for you and not against you. He will not give you more than you are able. He will give you a way out of whatever the troubles that bring into your life. That's awesome. Those are some promises, just a few. Now I know there are some promises that are meant specifically like for Israel in specific times, but there are so many that are for you, loved one. So many promises unique and specific to you and your life. And in Christ, God has fulfilled those for you to take hold of. Do we understand our birthright in Jesus Christ? Being born again is being brought into being a new creation. You can now grab hold of those promises in this book. It's really a struggle, loved ones, when you find somebody who's not a believer, not a Christian, trying to figure out how to grab hold of those promises. But I believe a lot of you may know that when I came to belief in Jesus Christ, was born again, all of a sudden I realized, yeah, these are for me. What an awesome, awesome book this is. 2 Corinthians tells us just exactly what those promises are. It says, 2 Corinthians 1:20, in Him, in Jesus, all God's promises are yes and amen. We need to hear that, amen. We need to hear that again to the glory of God through us. So how about we not only read our Bibles, not only going through it and try to get, can I encourage you all maybe to start praying through your Bibles? Can we get hold of those scriptures and start ripping them open and devouring them into our hearts through prayer? Not just reading them in our minds. And we start believing the things that God has given to us through Jesus Christ because they're there for you. It's for the taking. And so not only is it through prayer that He releases the blessings into our lives, but number two, add another word to that prayer, it's persistent prayer. It's persistent prayer. Plain truth is, some of you have just given up too fast. Some of you shoot up a prayer, we start all hopeful in God. I know these promises, we give to God what we think we want or what it is we want to be blessed with. And what do we hear back? Crickets. Nothing. And we give up, and we stop, and we're like, oh, guess it wasn't God's will. Are you telling me it's not God's will for your husband to be saved? Are you telling me it's not God's will to bless you with health and prosperity in the midst of your life? You might not be rich, but you can have a piece of prosperity, amen? And God wants that over you. And so we get tempted to think that God's indifferent. He doesn't care. Mark chapter 7 is a fascinating account of a woman. In fact, this is the only time that Jesus ever goes outside of the realm of Israel. He goes into Tyre and Sidon. You don't have to turn there. But Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30 is the story of the Gentile woman who begs over Jesus to heal his daughter. And his famous comment seemed awfully harsh and indifferent. He says, I'm not coming to the dogs. She was a Gentile. She wasn't of the Israeli race. And he called her, even though it was the Hebrew word, the Greek word was for pet, it was still very somewhat indifferent and harsh to us. But I want to maybe look at this through her eyes and through what we can get through it, not how we can judge Jesus on that. And after calling her a little dog, let's look what she does in verse 28 there. She says, it says here, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. She didn't go away sad and I didn't hear you saying no. She said, no, one more time. I know who you are. I know who you are. She was a Gentile. The Pharisees, a chapter before, didn't even want him near them. But she grabbed hold of him, says, I know who you are. And I know you can heal my daughter. And I know that you have a yes in there for me. And I loved what he says back is he honored her faith. Mark 15 is another coloring on this story. He honored her faith and her persistence and he healed her daughter. The healing came because she grabbed hold and didn't let go. Back to Jacob. I want to look as he's persistent in his prayer, in his faith. Verse 25 there in chapter 32 of Genesis, it says, now when he saw, that's a capital H, this is the man, when he saw that he did not prevail, man, this is God he's wrestling with, and he's not prevailing. Are you telling me God's not strong enough to take on little booty Jacob? No, that's not what's going on at all. God could have crushed him in an instant. Loved ones, it's that God couldn't turn Jacob away from his struggle. He was struggling for God to answer, and Jacob was not deterred. He wasn't taking no. He wasn't stopping. He was gonna fight the good fight with God. And Jacob was all in, and God was testing his resolve. And Jacob says, either the blessing's mine, or I'm not gonna live anymore. See, he understood Esau was on the side of that brook. So God's indifference is his perfect design, loved ones, to test your faith and to grow your spiritual muscles. You know, I'm not big into working out anymore. I used to be athletic when I was younger, and maybe I need to get back because I'm kind of flabby. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to find a gym that I have to look some perfect way. I have to be sculpted to go in there. And that's how our faith is. Jesus takes you with the flabby spiritual muscles, but he wants you to get on that row machine. He wants you to get into that aerobics class and start praying the good prayers and getting those muscles spiritually back in tune and on top of who he is so he can bless you. When you lay down your will at the altar of his sovereignty, you begin to get the right perspective of who he is. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to lay down that will that we have, that flesh that we have before the cross of Jesus Christ and that sovereignty? Man, when we do that, it's our persistence to his resistance that brings his assistance. And when I get a hold of that, and when I grab hold of that, and I don't let go, he comes around and he smiles on you and he loves on you and he said, that's my child. She didn't give up. That's my child. He's not running off. That's who I want as my follower. It's God speaking. So persistent prayer. Next we got God's blessings come with personal pain. Ooh, this is a hard one, loved ones. Sometimes we get to a point, I'm not giving up, but it begins to hurt. You see, God's love is not a pampering love. He is a perfecting God. He's a perfecting type of lover. And he's going to take you and he's going to mold you. And the clay should never say to the potter, what are you doing to me? It hurts. If he's going to break it, trust him to remold it. And so as it hurts sometimes that we cry out to God, bless me, I want the blessing. Don't be surprised that when that touch comes down, you get out of socket. Because his job is to bless you with a perfecting love. You know, medical experts will say that that dislocated hip is probably the most painful of all injuries a human being can have. And so I don't know how Jacob continued on. I have no idea what his condition was, but I could imagine he had a lot of pain going on in that socket of his hip. But he doesn't give up. He's still fighting the good fight. Yes, he didn't prevail. God touched the socket of his hip, and the socket went out of joint. And as he wrestled with him, still wrestling, still going through with them, wrestling in prayer, really when you come to terms with who you are and who God is, you can really stand on a faith that you didn't even realize you had. That strengthening in you, and you put your full weight of your faith on God, all of a sudden you don't even realize how much you can stand up to. That's what he was demonstrating here. We start agreeing with him. We start blessing him. In verse 26 he says, and he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's pretty direct. It's pretty direct. He demands the blessing. But this is the change of the story, loved ones. Sometimes I hear the sermon stop there. And I say there's more. Let's look at verse 27. This is a big, big deal. Verse 27 says, so he said to him, what is your name? What is your name? Does God not know his name? He can't whoop him in a wrestling match. He doesn't know his name. What kind of God is this? Again, no is the answer. Turn your Bibles. I want you to go over to Genesis chapter 27. We're going to go through this before, because this isn't the first time Jacob was asked What is your name? Listen up. Get your eyes on that Bible and let's see what he has here. Verse 18 of chapter 27. Here it is. The blessing is being given out by his father Isaac. And here comes Jacob. And he's got the coat, a fur coat on. His brother's off in the woods hunting. His mom and him do the little stew cooking. And they bring it over to half-blind Isaac. And verse 18 says there, so he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? What is your name? And Jacob's response was, I am Esau, your firstborn. He lied. He lied to his father. And what was going on here, this time it was God, his father, asking him his name. And he goes to him and he says, I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I've been doing life in my own strength. I've been doing it my own way. And it hasn't worked. He's repenting. That's what he did there. He repented to God Almighty. I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. And God smiles on him. Wrestling with God in prayer, God smiles on him. And he looks at him, and in the verse next, he says, your name shall no longer be Jacob. You shall no longer be deceiver. You're repenting, and I'm going to honor your repentance. You're now going to be Israel. You're going to be Israel, for you have struggled with God with men and have prevailed. Loved ones, winning the blessing from God only comes by losing to God. That's the only way life in the fullest can happen. And it brings us to my last point. The blessing's not about what he gives me. The health, the provision, the healing of relationship. It's about him. He blesses us with himself. Remember, Jacob entered this prayer wrestling match because he was scared of Esau. Give me the blessing of my circumstances, God. Keep me away from him, or deliver me away from him. Don't let him take me over. His relationship with God had to be restored, not with Esau. It was far better to get God than the protection and the deliverance from Esau. And so he casts off his identity as a deceiver, and God gives him that name, Israel. God preserves, and he realizes what that match was all about, and he proclaims that awesome verse there in 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Sometimes we need to realize that it's not that we need God to fix our situation. It's that in our situation, I need God. And then all things work itself out because I follow him. And my daddy begins to lead me, and I lean on him, and we go forward together. And when I go forward with Jesus Christ, is there anything that's wrong in life? Might be, but I'm with Jesus. And that's where he wants us to be. You see, this interaction between God and Jacob can often leave me scratching my head. Why would God interact with humanity this way, with this human being this way? Where did this come from? Why did the story go to this? Did I have to get this picture? Why would he lower himself unto the earth? Why would he waste his time? What? Well, there was a time, I believe this happens later. God does lower himself to the earth. The Bible tells us when Jesus interacted with us on the earth. And it wasn't this time to get a blessing. Jesus was coming to give you all the best blessing ever. The cross was before him. There was going to be no hip dislocation of the disciples. There was going to be no name changes of the Pharisees. There was going to be no wrestling match between him and humanity. He was going to the cross for you. And nobody was struggling with him. He knew what he was doing this time. The blessing was for all, and that's all he was about, to bless you. And so instead of crying out to God for the angels to deliver him, the full weight that should have fallen on Jacob and the full weight that should have fallen on me and you of the judgment fell on Jesus. It fell on Jesus that great day. And the one who knew no sin became sin for us. And the good news, loved ones, is the gospel message of old, that when we turn from our sin and embrace Jesus by faith, he gives us that blessing freely and without a dislocation. He does give you a new name. You're called a follower of Jesus Christ. And so he stands today to hear your prayers. He's not distant. He's not indifferent. He's not callous. He's not harsh. He's sovereign. And I embrace him. And I grab hold of him. And I ask you to do the same. This morning, if you all want to come up, we can maybe spend some time and open these altars. I don't want to minimize what's going on here. Can you, when you girls up here, and allow us maybe to take some time before we dismiss. Sometimes I dismiss maybe too fast, and I don't want to do that this morning. Maybe God is distant from you right now. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes and allow the Spirit of God to work in us deeply this morning. Let the seeds that are sown right now to grab hold and be nourished with the living water so that one day the bread of life comes forth fresh. Every week that bread was given new in the temple. And I don't want to hurry out of here. These altars are open. Somebody who needs to be here this morning needs to be here now. Maybe you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't worry, nobody's looking. It's not about any kind of judgment. But Pastor, I've been going to church for 20 years. Doesn't matter. Maybe you're the one that's just struggling with believing his promises and you want to lay before him and give a fresh accounting to who he says he is in your life, opening your hearts. Come, kneel before your Maker, your Savior, and your Lord. Maybe you're in that wrestling match right now and you feel your hip out of socket and you're asking God, help me get the strength to continue to hold on. Come before him, and I believe he will touch you with a fresh anointing. How awesome you are, God. Don't miss this opportunity. Sometimes the words that go forth in our hearts are quieter than maybe they should, and this is just an affirmation of that time before him. Nobody's watching you except your Almighty God. Let him touch you and fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. God, we thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's someone here who grabbed hold of a blessing as a deceiver. And I don't want to judge your intentions. I have no cares about your intentions. But now he wants to change your name to one who persevered with me. And you've got to make right some things with him. Come. Kneel before him. Allow him to do a deep work, a lasting work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Quiet times before God, like we heard this morning, are precious. He's listening. I encourage everyone here sitting and kneeling or standing, all within the hearing of my voice, whether at this service or over tape, and to lay before the things that he's asking for, to surrender to him, and to receive the blessing by belief and faith that he is working in you. And he has a yes and an amen as an answer. Thank you, Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind. Thank you, Jesus, that we can go forward in you. Your arms are wide open, embracing, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Any prayer warriors can come and lay hands and minister to those here. Thank you.